Well, hey, welcome. I'm super glad that you're all here. I know that's like a generic thing that people say, but I am. So just take my word for it. My name's Curtis Goodnight. I've been on staff with NLCF for about 2 years now with my wife, Elena, whom you just met. And we're in the middle of a series that's examining like areas in our life that are out of focus. So the things that we see differently than the way that God sees them. And so today, we're going to be talking about community, as Noah so kindly alluded to. I also know that a lot of you are probably going to be disappointed that I'm not doing a financial update. I'm sorry, but bear with me. That's all right. So we're going to talk about community, but first, let's just take a second to visualize. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of like a spiritually mature or wise person? Like, what's that initial, that was nice, initial image that pops into your head? For me, this is it right here. That's right, my man Yoda. it's a little bit of a joke, but just a little bit. But really, in some sense, I think for me, I really used to picture this idea of someone who maybe spent a lot of time in solitude, isolation, meditation, prayer, kind of away from distractions, able to totally and completely focus on God. And I don't know, for most of my life, this image would pretty much sum up how I operated. Of if I had a problem, I would get in prayer. If there was something that, like an area of sin in my life, I would read more scripture about it. If I wanted to become like more patient or something, I would like will myself to become more patient. And those aren't bad things. It's just that we tend to skew towards this individualistic pursuit of God. So it's not bad, it's just imbalanced if that's all we're doing. And so there was one time I was leading an engage group, and this question came up: what's the most God-honoring way that we can spend our time? Like, if I don't know, just pretend with me for a second. You're shopping at Gucci Krogue, and you run into Mark Zuckerberg, good old Marky Mark. He's there picking up some groceries, and you guys become friends. And he's like, you know what? I want to support you in whatever you're trying to do. He says, I'm going to pay all your expenses. Like, everything's taken care of. And then you set up a subscription service with Papa John's. So like 3 meals a day, they're just pumping you full of bread, cheese, and marinara. So you're like, you're set. And so this is my question. Is the most God-pleasing life pizza and solitude? I think for my fellow introverts, you're thinking, yeah, that sounds great. But so if we had all this free time, all the free time in the world, would the best use of that time just to be, you know, one-on-one with God, spending time in prayer and scripture and learning? I think, obviously, this analogy is a little bit of a, it's probably unrealistic. But I think the root of it is something that I held to. Of like, I kind of believed, yeah, I believe that like things like your job and school were things that you had to do, so you were around people. But, you know, sin entered the world, so you have to take O-chem, like stuff like that. I never took it, thankfully. Stuff like that are things you have to do, but it's ultimately taking you away from time with God, the thing that would really be best for your time. Let's look at some scripture that I think speaks to this. So we're looking at Romans 12, verses 4 through 7. It's going to be up on the screen right there. Or, you know, if you want more Jesus points, you can read it in Old English or something like that. But we're just going to be reading it from the old NIV here. It says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Since we've been given different gifts according to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy." And it goes on to list these different giftings and how we live those out.
So we're gonna get back to this. We're gonna look a little bit more in depth at it, but just for some background information. So a lot of Paul's letters and writing are in response to specific situations. So he would like help start a church, and they'd be like, "Hey man, we got this crazy situation going on. What do we do about it?" He'd be like, "Well, this is how you do it." Romans is a little bit different in that he did not directly plant the Roman church. And so, I don't know, I kind of view it as like a theological fire hose of here's what's important. And so as I was looking up passages about community, this section really stuck out to me. And something I want to point out is this link that it kind of, well, does four different times. If you want to go back to that last slide. So it has this link between the one and the many. It says, so there's this one body with many members. And these members do not all have the same, like, singular function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. So there's this back and forth, the many, the one, the many. And there's this this quote by James Dunn, which I really like. It says, "Oneness of the body and diversity of members is correlated, not contrasted. The body is one not despite its diversity, but the body is one only by virtue of its diversity." So what this is saying is, it's not like, yeah, we got one body, like there's a lot going on, there's a lot of diversity, but it still manages to work. He's saying, no, it only works, it's only one body because of the diversity that it encompasses. I really like, Paul talks about this codependency in the imagery of the body of Christ many times throughout Romans. And I think, in particular, the last phrase in verse 5 really jumps out to me. It says, "And each member belongs to all the others." I think it's a really important concept for us to kind of meditate on. We're going to stay on the James Dunn train because I was reading a commentary by him. I was like, man, this guy's got some good stuff. The original quote, I had to Google like half the words in it, so I kind of rewrote it, but I think the message pretty much stays the same. But it says, "To be a follower of Jesus is not and cannot be a solitary religious belief. So it's not something that we can just do by ourselves. But its very essence is belonging to a larger body, an absolutely necessary and inseparable physical form." And I love this next line. It says, "It is an active membership, each having a different function as part of the body. It is an active membership, each having a different function as part of the body, a practice of mutual support in both giving and receiving." And it doesn't have any overdependence on any one member or function. So there is this interdependence, but it's not like everyone's waiting on that guy. Good luck. Like, it's this spider web of dependence that we have on one another. Now I'm the kind of guy that hates asking for help. If you want to throw up the picture, I love this picture. Look at that guy. You can see it in his eyes. He's like, I'm great, but I'm not great. I would probably smile while getting crushed to death by something instead of asking someone to help, like, me come and move this thing. I chose this picture specifically because it's like, you can see the help in his eyes, but he's like, I'm fine. He knows that that sweater and that scarf should not even be in the same room together. But just to kind of illustrate my point further, there's one time that I moved apartments, and I like moved everything by myself. I had like a mini fridge. I had this giant leather chair that I kind of like threw up on my back and turtled up three flights of stairs. It was ridiculous. And I only did it because I was too like prideful to ask anyone to help me. And so I don't like to appear as though I'm dependent on others. But here's the thing. Community is not about preference. It's not. It's not about wanting to or not wanting to, or looking at, does community make things easier for me or more difficult? That's not the question. It's essential. It's not always easier, but it's always more beneficial. Now, I chose this picture of my man Morpheus. This is a dated reference, so it is what it is. But I chose this picture because when Morpheus is asking Neo, do you want the red or the blue pill? He's not asking, do you prefer the color red or do you prefer the color blue? He's saying, do you want to live the actual life, the real life you were created for? Or do you want to keep living in this incomplete version that you're accustomed to? And I think for us, it's a similar question of it's not do we prefer community or do we not prefer community. It's do we want to live into the life that Christ designed us for, or do we want to be in this incomplete version that many of us are accustomed to? In Mark 22, there's a... I really like this story. The Pharisees were the spiritual leader some of the spiritual leaders in Israel at the time of Jesus. And they would do this thing where they'd try to, like, trick or trap Jesus. Spoiler alert, it never worked. but it was cute. You know, they tried. And so they got together one time and they asked him, they said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And his response was this. He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. But the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. It says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus appears to give two answers to their one question. But I would argue that it's actually one answer, it's just two parts. You see, we cannot love God and have nothing to do with other people. Those two concepts cannot be separated. There's a section in James 3, verses 9 and 10, if you're taking notes. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth came praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. He's saying, you can't praise God and then curse those who are made in his image. Those two things cannot be at odds with one another. They have to be together if we're doing, or if we're living our life as God calls us to. And likewise, we cannot love others in the way we're called to if we're not growing closer to Jesus. God calls us to love others in a sacrificial way that we just simply do not have the ability to do if our heart is not being transformed to be more like his. So why is community something we struggle with? I think Jeanette last week hit on a really important point. She said, she was talking about isolation, and she was saying just because you're around other people doesn't mean you're not isolated. And I think that same theme carries over with community. Just because you're physically around other people doesn't mean that you're in community. You see, we have these, natural habits that combat this idea. Things that we've just kind of are a part of us. We compare ourselves, like Morgan talked about a couple weeks ago. We assess the value of others with the lifeboat game, like Christian talked about. We let our pride create disunity, like Elena talked about. We have these habits, and they distort our view and negatively impact the fullness of the life we were created for. It puts us out of focus. So one time I was sitting down having a conversation with Elena's dad, Mr. B, Brian, Pasta. He's known by many names. He and I were sitting on his back deck. It was just the two of us. And he was telling me that, well, just for some background, he was a fighter pilot in the Air Force for over 20 years. He then retired to the much easier job of working at NASA. So he's a pretty high-capacity guy. And he was telling me that he used to try and do everything by himself just to prove that he could, because he didn't want to appear weak, like he needed others. But he was saying, and I think I think there was a reason he was probably directing this to me. But he was saying that real strength is to rely on others. It's to recognize that we can't do everything by ourselves. And even if we can, it's better to bring others into it. Just like the passage of Scripture talked about earlier, it's this idea of giving and receiving, this mutual supporting of one another. That's how we were designed. We were not designed to go through life alone, and likewise, we've been given gifts that are not for us to keep for ourselves. So as I said earlier, community is not about a preference. It isn't deciding if we want to have it be an aspect of our life. It's a central component of what it looks like to follow Christ. It really is. They cannot be separated from one another. So how do we do this? We've got these habits that make it more difficult to. If you're like me, maybe just kind of grown up with this individualistic view of your faith walk. So how do we start to rework some of these ways of thinking and some of these practices? Well, I think church is a great component of community, but it can't be the only one. Church, you know, if you're coming to church once a week, like that's a great start, but it's not going to get you in the community that God desires for you. It should be a component, but not the only one. So I've got a list up here. So coming regularly to Sunday gatherings, that's a great way to do it. Also, getting involved in serving. There's something that happens where when we serve alongside other people, we tend to form relationships that are a little bit different than when we're just kind of showing up and then leaving after the last song. Another thing that you can do is join an engage group. So we've got a whole bunch of groups with people that would love to get to know you. And let people see the real you. Like faults and all. Like actually who you are. Because it's so easy to be around people and to put up the walls like everything's great. But if you need help, ask for help. Let people see your strengths. Let people see your weakness. Let people speak into your life. Practice caring more about people than caring how people see you. I think this is a practice that's been really formational for me. Because sometimes we can just let, how are people going to view this, dictate how we love others, and that shouldn't be the case. Also, you can ask someone to mentor or disciple you. And disciple someone else. Again, it's this, we're receiving and we're giving. It's this rhythm. But just like our gifts, this community is not for us to keep. Community is only functioning as it's intended if it's growing. If we're inviting other people into this community, if we're bringing this community to others. It's not a stagnant thing, because if we're designed for this community, then it's not loving to let people operate without it. We want to help people live the most full life that they can. So community is not a consideration, it's a calling. It's not a consideration, it's a calling. So I'm gonna go ahead and pray, and then we're gonna jump into some discussion questions. But just pray with me. Lord, we thank you so much for your wisdom, God, and the way that you've designed us. Lord, I'm so thankful that you gave us the blueprint of what it looks like to follow you. God, that you yourself have always been in community with God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, and you've designed us to be a part of community as well. God, show us if there are practices or beliefs that we have that prevent us from doing this. God, we love you, and we thank you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.